Aaron Rodgers sold his seats to Matt LaFleur last night at the Bucks game? My dreams are coming. Like, Rodgers hasn't been there yet. I've still been curious if he's ever going to show up for one of these Bucks games as a minority owner. Hopefully they advance to the Eastern Conference Finals so we get to figure out that the answer to that question. It is a DeWitt Law Firm Q&A day as we kick off the 10 a.m. hour of Wilde and Tausch. Jason on assignment, though he may be able to join us momentarily in the 10 a.m. hour for at least a little bit. And clarify a little bit of the conversation we just had with Chad Clifton about Jason not being willing to buy his house at one point in time. Curious to hear about that. In the meantime, I'm Jesse Nelson in for Jason today. Hunter Vaughn behind the glass running the show in the Park Bank ESPN Madison Studios downtown in the Capitol Square. Josh DiMaggio holding it down at the Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all studios at Radio City in Milwaukee. Tausch, it is a DeWitt Law Firm Q&A day. I've got some questions about Matt LaFleur at the Bucks game. I know you've got some other questions about the Packers as well.
Going back to our old buddy Cliffy. And, you know, we had some fun, but this is the part where Mark Murphy said there's a division amongst the fans. I think from a player's standpoint, players are always going to support players, but there's also the fact that there's a lot of players have a lot of affinity for the organization. And it's put guys in a really weird spot because you could hear Cliffy, he doesn't really understand. And this is the part that's so intriguing. Nobody really still knows exactly what Aaron Rodgers wants. I have good ideas, and I believe this is what is true. And there is no doubt control is what this is mostly about. But it just was interesting when Cliff said, I don't even really know what's going on. Like, I know it's a big deal. That's the majority, I think, of former players. I think that's the, and everybody just wants the same thing. Come to a resolution that makes everybody happy. Unfortunately, I don't know if that exists. That's the tricky part of it. What isn't tricky is if you need an attorney, you go to DeWitt Law Firm. Attorneys who are experienced, practical, and dedicated to outstanding legal results for their clients. The Intellectual Property Group, Joe Leone, that crew, one of the more than 30 practice area specialties at DeWitt Law Firm. Protection is the name of the game for the intellectual property attorneys at DeWitt. They will handle your patent and trademark portfolios, copyrights, and when needed, litigate to protect your rights. DeWitt Law Firm has attorneys on the ground in Milwaukee, Madison, Minneapolis, and up in Green Bay. Learn more about DeWitt's attorneys online at DeWittLLP.com. That's DeWittLLP.com.
My Q&A day questions pertaining to Matt LaFleur being at the Bucks game last night. Now, Tausch, you mentioned, you know, golfing with Mark Murphy. Some of your pals were golfing with him earlier this week.
Yep.
And how they didn't bring up the Rodgers stuff to Murphy. He brought it up to them around hole 8. If you're sitting next to LaFleur at the Bucks game last night, are you bringing it up at all?
Yes. For sure.
How you doing
Well, because especially if you're sitting there, you know, obviously he's there for, he's going to have a good time. But if you're sitting next to him, you're probably sitting courtside or somewhere in, you know, good seats or in a suite. You're going to ask him. It almost gets, just like the guys that golfed with Mark, it's almost more uncomfortable if you don't ask him. Because you know everybody's thinking it. Everybody wants to know. Everybody is, you know, interest is piqued. They're going to ask. So it's the elephant in the room. Just get it out of the way. And then you enjoy watching the Bucks game because you know LaFleur is sitting there like, oh, God, somebody's going to ask me what A-Rod. Somebody's going to ask me what A-Rod. Let's just get it. Let's knock it out and then move forward with our lives. That's probably the best case scenario. Yes, you can ignore it and not get to it. But then there's just that uncomfortability, and you're slapping high fives after a Giannis dunk. And but what you really want to know is, hey, man, you getting A-Rod back in camp here or what? That's the gist of it. So, of course, yes, you ask him. I don't think there's any question about that.
Is Matt LaFleur looking the best of everyone? Because,
yes.
I mean, look at Mark Murphy and Rodgers and Goody and even some of the other corollary pieces involved in this puzzle, this standoff. I think everybody's looking bad to a certain extent. The only guy that I think isn't is Matt LaFleur. I think he's looking better the way he's handled all this stuff so far.
I tend to agree, but the unfortunate part for Matt is if this thing doesn't get rectified, he's going to be the first one to kind of fall on the sword. Because it's his football team, and he is directly kind of employed by what his results are. Goody will be in trouble, too. Goody is going to hitch his wagon to to Jordan Love, but then Matt LaFleur is going to have to hitch his wagon to Jordan Love. So I think he has handled this well. I think Aaron, I think if I'm ranking, if I'm doing my power rankings Friday on who's looked the best or who's looked the worst, I think Mark Murphy's probably going to be at the top. Somehow Goody has slipped. We haven't talked about Goody. He hadn't talked. No, no, nothing about what's going on. I think he has kind of fallen off. Mark Murphy's been the public face. It is his organization to lead. He is in charge. He makes the final call on whether or not they give him a one-year opt-out, whether or not they offer him this big new extension. It is his bucket. So he is at the top of the list. And I think the PR battle has been won by Aaron Rodgers to this point. Now, if he's missing regular season games and the team is not doing well, I still think that's going to be a direct reflection on the organization more than Aaron. But Aaron's his rankings as far as favorability, they're dropping. And amongst a certain age group, they're plummeting. So he is number two. I think somehow Goody has fallen to number three on my power rankings of who's looking worse in this scenario.
So you think Rodgers actually looks worse than Goody publicly right now?
Yes. And it's all because what has been said lately. This is such a moving flow chart of how things are going. Aaron has been very, I guess, selective with what he's saying and what he's talking about. Mark Murphy is trying to squash it. He's not, but he continues to be in the news. So I think you're going to have a quiet period here, and then there's going to be an eruption. And then that could mess this whole flow chart up. But as the crow flies right now, yeah, this is how I would rank the, you know, who's led. And Matt LaFleur has handled this very well. But that's not going to matter one bit if when they go out, this offense struggles immensely because they don't have Aaron Rodgers. It ain't going to be on anybody else. It's going to be on Matt LaFleur to figure out how he can move the football and be effective on offense. And then his favorability rankings, this could easily sway if things don't, there's no moving parts and this is what this team's going to look like. He can really pop if all of a sudden Jordan Love is, he shows he can be effective with him. But if it goes the other way, he is going to skyrocket to the top of this list. And he knows that.
That doesn't seem very fair to me.
Like, life ain't fair, Jeff.
Life isn't fair. I understand. But sports are designed, in the most part, to be somewhat fair. Matt LaFleur is 26-6 in 2 years with a Hall of Fame quarterback. Like, you can't just discredit that and say that doesn't count. And that he's the one who's going to fall on sword first. Like, Jordan Love is the one who should fall on the sword first if this doesn't work out, if Rodgers is gone and he takes over and the team wins five games this year. It's going to be on Jordan Love or Goody. Like, it's not going to be on LaFleur at all.
Jesse, who gets the most blame when teams lose that are supposed to win?
It's the head coach, but that's in the cases where you have a head coach and a rookie quarterback or a head coach and a developing system.
Listen,
and you've got to figure it out
immediately on it. But you're not going to hear about 26-6. You're going to hear about, hey, they decided they're going this way, and Matt LaFleur will have to go along with this. He's not going to sit there and berate his general manager publicly if Jordan Love can't play. But he will be saying it privately, and he'll be saying, this situation is a mess. I'm winning with Aaron Rodgers as quarterback, and if we hadn't done this, he'd still be our quarterback because the best thing that he's done, and I thought when – Mark Murphy fired Mike McCarthy. The biggest thing was you better have a partnership with your head coach and Aaron Rodgers. It took a while. Matt LaFleur had to work hard to get Aaron to buy into why this would be successful. He bought in last year. It was incredibly successful. And now there's a total reset if that happens. That's what's going to suck for Matt LaFleur. He sees that, and that's why he's trying to head this thing off.
DeWitt Law Firm Q&A Day on Wilde and Tausch, 844-770-3776. Send us your DeWitt Law Firm Q&A Day questions about the Green Bay Packers, the Milwaukee Bucks, whatever it may be. Tausch and I will be looking to answer as we continue throughout the show. I have a question additional to what we've just talked about with Matt LaFleur, Tausch. I am in a pickle when it comes to watching the Bucks in Game 7 tomorrow night. Okay. I will explain to you what my situation is, and I hope you can shed some light on a possible outcome for me, because I'm very self-centered, and I outsource my issues to you and to our fans when I run into situations like this. But I'm not sure I'm going to be able to watch the Bucks game tomorrow night.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to need some help, and we will address that as part of a DeWitt Law Firm Q&A day as we continue next on Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
Red one song that's not about you. Can't drink without thinking about you. Is it too late to tell you that everything means nothing if I can't have you?
I'm in Toronto and I got this view.
So I've got an issue with the Bucks going to Game 7 tomorrow night against the Brooklyn Nets. And it's not just the fact that Tausch and I both think that the Bucks may not win Game 7 against the Brooklyn Nets tomorrow night. Jesse Nelson in for Jason Wilde as your cousin sub of the day today. Cousin subs, we believe in better. So DeWitt Law Firm Q&A day. Tausch is here. Hunter Vaughn running the show in our Park Bank ESPN Madison studios. Josh DiMaggio in the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios in Radio City in Milwaukee. Tausch, here's the dilemma. So you thought the wedding talk may have been over once I finally got married.
Thank God.
No,
yeah,
no,
it's
no.
Finally over.
Nope, we're still going.
Oh, boy.
I am the co-best man for my buddy Pat.
Why don't your buddies just put their foot in the dirt here and say, listen, you're my best man. Everybody's best buddies with everybody else, right?
I got away with it because my wife had a sister and a best friend that she wanted to include that way.
That I understand.
Yeah. Okay. So why is Pat doing it this way? I have no idea. But he's got two co-best men, and it's me and my friend Corey, who was one of my best men, so it works out really well. So we're planning this whole thing together. So this whole thing's been a bit inconvenient, obviously, with me getting married and trying to plan his stuff on top of my own stuff. Yeah. Like, it's been a little frustrating.
You're a warrior. What a warrior you are.
We have powered through. We came up with a plan. We rented a lake house in the greater Oshkosh area for this weekend. So we're heading up there this afternoon. After the show wraps up, we'll be heading up to Oshkosh, getting the Airbnb, and getting going on bachelor party weekend. Bachelor party weekend, one could even say. His name's Pat. I thought that was pretty good.
I caught that.
Thanks.
I can't condone big laughs with that one. I can't.
Appreciate it. So, I totally underestimated that Game 7 of Bucks-Nets had the potential for tomorrow night. And we scheduled some different things that we're going to be doing as part of this weekend. Axe throwing is on the agenda, which I've never done. I'm very excited to go axe throwing. But that is scheduled for 8 p.m. tomorrow night. And I don't know if they have TVs at the axe throwing place. And I'm also the only Bucks fan that's really going to be present. A lot of the guys that are going to be here are my buddies from college that live in the Chicago area or from even further out of state. Like, this isn't like my party where everyone's a Brewers fan. Everyone's a Bucks fan. We're all excited about watching the NFL draft that was going on during my week. Like, that was on the TV. Everybody understood. That's the thing.
I understand the scenario here. I get it.
I'm the only one that wants to watch the Bucks game,
and I'm not sure
I'm going to be able to.
Go ahead, Hunter.
If it's the place that I think it is, because I did go to school at UW Oshkosh, I believe they have TVs there. So I think you should be okay.
But is like axe throwing a dangerous place to not be concentrating on what you're doing?
Well, it's almost like a bowling alley with walls. So you'd really have to not be paying attention to what's going on.
Like, I don't want to be cheering for a big Chris Middleton bucket in the second quarter and suddenly an axe comes flying by my nose.
Yeah, we
don't want that.
All right, here's the deal. These guys are your best friends. Like, they're in your wedding. You're in their weddings. Tape the Bucks game. You don't need to. You're going to find out. You don't need to be watching. If these guys are your best buddies, this is their weekend. It isn't about you. I know this is hard for you to comprehend. This isn't about you. It's not your wedding night where you have people coming up to kiss the ring. This is about your buddy and what he's doing. So you don't need, I know it's an inconvenience for poor Jesse. I get that you want to be able to watch it. You can still sneak and watch some of the game. And let's be honest, you don't need to watch every second of this game. You can watch the fourth quarter. You're going to have your axes thrown by then. Great idea for a bachelor party, by the way. An axe throwing is fantastic. Now you throw some fishing in there with it. You got yourself a beautiful day. Lake Winnebago, one of the best walleye fishing lakes in the state. Get out there and go catch a couple.
We are not going to go fishing. We've got a. We're going to take the cooler and the tubes and go tube down one of the rivers. You know, they do like the floating trip. We're doing that during the day tomorrow. So that's the precursor, and then axe throwing on the evening agenda. But Tausch, these are the two best words in sports. Game seven. That's what they tell us. Like, you want to be on the edge of your seat, watching every second. This isn't game three against the Heat when you're up 2-0. This isn't a regular season game back in January. This is game seven, and by many of the metrics that the experts have shared, the winner of this game tomorrow night has a great chance not just to go on and reach the NBA Finals, because Atlanta and Philadelphia don't look very great. They have a chance to go and win the NBA Finals. They're probably in the driver's seat if they win this game tomorrow night. Arguably the biggest Bucks game in 20 years.
Well, it's not arguably, it is. And I think if the Bucks can pull this out, they're going to be the NBA champions.
And your advice is tape the game?
Jesse.
That's insane.
This is your these are your best friends. They should trump any basketball game. Unless your kid is playing in the game, or you're an owner of the team, or you're an employee of the team, this shouldn't even be a conversation topic. Like, if I'm your buddy Tyler and what's Pat?
Pat, yep, bachelor party.
I'm saying maybe I need to reevaluate if Jesse should be the best man in this. If this is causing him so much consternation that he can't put his phone down and celebrate big time with me on my bachelor weekend, maybe I need to reevaluate. This is more of a tier three. If these guys are your tier three buddies, then I think Jesse's got a point. Tier one, standing up in the wedding, this is absurd that you'd even think this way.
I should have known better than coming to you for this advice. I come to you hoping that you will be a beacon of hope, an expert, and think outside the box.
I'm trying to save your friendship with these two fellas.
All you're telling me is that this is a tier three move that I'm making, and I'd better just tape the game and be present the whole time, and the Bucks don't even exist while we're tossing these axes on Saturday night.
Well, and as Hunter just said, there's TVs right there. You can probably
maybe
meander over. No, there's TVs in an axe throwing place. Like, this is a sports bar type joint. Like, do bowling alleys not have TVs? Hunter just said he went to school there. You're fine.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, if you're sitting there and you're not interested in throwing axes and you're more interested in shoveling chicken wings down and drinking Coors Lights, watching the Bucks game, which actually sounds pretty doggone fun.
Right. I am more interested in that. I'll be honest.
The axe throwing is an interesting sport. I don't understand how they judge that. Is it where the top of the axe is touching to give you the points?
Well, I've never done. Hunter, have you done it before? Like, you said
I haven't done it before.
Oh, great.
But I just, knowing from friends, from seeing them on Snapchat and things like that, you know, I do believe that they're going to have TVs, so I've never actually done it myself.
Yeah, there's TVs. It's also like a dartboard, isn't it? Like,
dartboard, and they put the things, you got like the red dots. You got a couple in the high corners, and you sit there and you got to fling it. You got to be careful, though, because the kickback, that's where you get in trouble. If you're not flipping it the right way, the kickback will come back at you. That's where you better make sure every time you throw or you're near.
Well, wait a minute. How far away are you?
Don't wear sandals.
Yeah, first of all, Hunter's just coming after everybody on the show today. Second of all, like, how close are you to the board throwing these things? Is it like a trampoline? If you hit the handle of the thing, it's going to come right back at you?
Yes, axes will bounce back hard, yeah.
Don't
wear sandals.
We don't want
those piggies. We want them piggies all coming home.
We don't want them coming home.
Get a sandwich at the market.
Okay. Tammy in Slinger says, they have TVs. It's like a sports bar. You're going to love it. So thank you, Tammy. I appreciate that. Terry in New London, just see if any of your friends in this party are Nets fans. It could help you. No, they're not. Are there any really Nets fans? Like, aren't they all Knicks fans out there?
No, the Nets fans, it's a bunch of phony balonies.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
They've been Nets fans for about 3 months.
Nice.
Yeah, whenever KD signed is when they jumped on the Nets train.
Well, whether I am watching the game on Saturday night during axe throwing or not, I will be dreaming fearlessly that the Bucks will advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. When it comes to, well, maybe I should ensure my piggies carefully as well to make sure that I
don't
lose any.
Don't wear sandals. And just, you should sign up. Get your buddies to sign up. This could be a great wedding prize. This is a cool contest that American Family Insurance is launching. A slide into home sweepstakes to give one lucky fan their very own Bernie chalet for their backyard. The renovation of the chalet, revealed in 2021, is part of the American Family Field's new naming rights and an iconic asset that is tied to the American Family brand. The sweepstakes provides fans the opportunity to bring the iconic asset to their backyard. Fans can enter now through Wednesday, June 30th at www.amfam.com/brewers. The sweepstakes is open to Wisconsin residents 18 and over. The chalet will also be touring around Wisconsin so fans can see it up close and in person. Locations and times will also be on amfam.com/brewers, with tour stops at American Family Field in Milwaukee, other spots in Madison, in Green Bay, in Eau Claire, maybe even up at the axe throwing place. That's not confirmed yet, but we'll see if we can do that to make Jesse's life even easier. Fans can enter the sweepstakes at the tour locations or on site at American Family Field in Section 213 inside the stadium. In addition to the grand prize winner receiving their own backyard chalet, 10 second-place prize winners will get a $500 gift card to the Brewers team store. To enter, go on www.amfam.com/brewers. That's amfam.com/brewers. One entry per person.
Tausch, can we get a hee-haw for the streamers?
Yeah!
It is time for Wildy and Tausch Trivia. Caller number 4 right now at 844-770-3776.
Perfect week going. Except for one.
Except for one.
Perfect. We got a Brewers perfect week going. Get the one hitter.
A Brewers perfect week of trivia today. The last day to get in for this week's ESPN Wisconsin prize pack. 844-770-3776. Since it's the Jesse Nelson Show in its truest form today, today's trivia category is the Jesse Special, which hasn't been around for a while. State capitals is today's trivia category. State capitals, caller 4 right now, 844-770-3776. A chance to play Wildy and Tausch Trivia, 844-770-3776. State capitals trivia is next on Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch continues next on 94.5 ESPN, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
Jesse Nelson in for Jason Wildy, making it Jesse and Tausch. That sounds similar, right? It's not bad. Wildy and Tausch, back with you. I've always wanted to do that. That's how Jason does it, too. 844-770-3776, the ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line, as we continue on this edition of the Jesse Nelson Show edition of Wildy and Tausch, which means it is the Jesse Special State Capitals as we get set to play Wildy and Tausch Trivia. And it is a staple of Wildy and Tausch Trivia, who is our contestant today, one of our greats, one of the goats of trivia, Chef Ed. How you doing, Chef Ed?
Morning, guys. How's it going? How ironic that I get state capitals. I'll say Albuquerque.
Chef Ed, I'm happy to report Albuquerque is not one of the potential options today. But this is a good redemption tour for you. How's business been down there with the Bucks
games?
Oh,
it's got to be booming, Chef.
Oh, we've been packed, jam-packed, smashing. Beginning, yeah, everybody's feeling the Bucks fever.
So, Chef Ed, talk me off the ledge here, because I called last night's game. I thought Milwaukee would win big, and they did. But I am super nervous for Saturday. Can you tell me why I shouldn't be?
Well, I'm in the same club with you. I'm a little bit hesitant because Middleton seems to be the type of player that has a great game, and he doesn't usually back it up with another great one. So I hope he doesn't have a poor shooting night tomorrow night.
Yeah,
Giannis is going to be Giannis. He's going to get his. And Drew's got to step up a little bit. But yep. I'm kind of worried about Middleton having one of those bad shooting nights.
Man, I hope we're wrong, Chef. I hope we're wrong. But I hope we're right when we get to trivia. And with your geniosity when it comes to state capitals, I feel pretty good about it.
The Chef Ed Redemption Tour begins.
Redemption Tour for Chef Ed. Chef, which of these state capitals is part of the contiguous 48 states? Is it Juneau? Is it Honolulu? Or is it Austin?
I think it's contiguous, but I've heard it both ways.
Okay, well, don't correct me then.
I'll say Juneau.
Oh, boy. Sorry, Chef Ed. Taush, do you know what the contiguous...
The actual word should have been the continental. Like, you're part of the one deal. That would have been the right word.
What that word is contiguous, the ones that are all connected.
I don't think that's true, but you would have helped Chef Ed. It's Austin, Texas, Chef. Yeah. Austin, Texas.
Juneau, Alaska, Honolulu, Hawaii, the capital's not part of the contiguous 48
contiguous
United States. Yes. I've heard it both ways. Chef Ed, we'll get you off the schneid here with question number two. Which of these state capitals is furthest north?
Oh, boy.
Great question. Is it Salem, Oregon, Pierre, South Dakota, or Augusta, Maine? Which of those state capitals is the furthest north? Salem, Oregon, Pierre, South Dakota, or Augusta, Maine?
I am terrible at geography. I'll say Augusta, Maine.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
We are on pace for an Albuquerque.
This could be like the Brewers' recent run here. Sweep City the opposite way.
Would you like to Taush it, Chef Ed?
I'll say South Dakota, then.
Yeah, you Taushed it.
And you Taushed it.
Oh my God, boy.
Chef.
He's got a chance to get four wrong today.
All right,
Salem, Oregon, the furthest north. Uh-oh.
All right, Chef. This is the easiest one of the group, though. Which U.S. state capital is known by the nickname the Big Friendly? Is it Oklahoma City, Oklahoma? Is it Sacramento, California? Or is it Olympia, Washington?
I've never even heard of the Big Friendly.
Yeah, me either.
Give me the choices again.
Oklahoma City, Sacramento, or Olympia?
I'll say Sacramento.
Oh no! He got Albuquerque!
Chef.
Oh, well.
Are you sure this isn't Gordy? This might be Gordy.
No, this is me. I'm just terrible at geography.
Chef, what's your favorite category? Because we'll try to alert you early when we have a favorite. What's your best category?
Anything sports or cooking related.
It's typically what this show should be. But
culinary expertise. Let's say,
you turn the reins over to Jesse Nelson, this is what happens. It's just how it goes.
And Jesse, some of my best days growing up was spending days on the lake with my dad fishing. I mean, my dad always had a bumper sticker: a bad day at fishing is still better than a good day at
work.
So you gotta love fishing.
Well, yeah, but a better day than a good day fishing would be like a bad day at a Brewers game or at the Deer District or golfing.
Wait till you have kids when you make these outrageous claims. Chef, what's your favorite fish to cook?
I like trout. Pan trout.
Mm-hmm.
We just slayed a bunch of perch and we made a little perch fry. Max did something with cayenne and what's the New Orleans seasoning? Creole. A lot of Creole. I went with the old school, just beer battered, and Max won't admit it, but I outcooked him, and he doesn't like to be outcooked.
Chef Ed's downtrodden, I think.
He is a little.
We got to. He got Albuquerque.
We'll get Chef Ed back. He might win. He still can win.
The good news is one is all you need. Yeah. Now, everyone else has three or four entries, but you know what? It's an underdog, and it's a lovable story to see if Chef Ed has a chance to win the ESPN Wisconsin prize pack a little bit later in the show. Chef Ed, thanks for playing, man.
Thanks, Doc. Go Bucks.
Go Bucks, yes, indeed. Hey, let's get home court advantage next series, too, huh?
Well,
let's not just win. Let's see the Hawks win.
What's
going
to be great? Milwaukee needs it. Like, that Deer District was beaten down with how the pandemic played out. Chef Ed, you could just hear the pep in his step when you're talking about people being out and being slammed. I might switch my pick here because I'm feeling the vibes. What Chef Ed just kind of – the vibe is strong. We know we have a much stronger fan base. The problem is we're not playing at home. I'm still nervous. Even with Chef Ed's calming me down a little bit, I'm still nervous.
PJ Carlissimo said, you play with intensity when you're down 3-2, and maybe that'll spark the Bucks. Okay. Let's see if it happens tomorrow night, Game 7, Bucks-Nets in Brooklyn. Coming up next, rumor has it we may or may not be joined by one of the regular voices you hear on this show. And the fact that Tausch and I are here, and one of the others who has his name in the show is not, gives you a clue as to who that may be. Jason Wilde may or may not appear next on Wilde and Tausch.
On air, online, and on demand. Get all your favorite ESPN Wisconsin content anywhere you get your podcasts for free. The new Wisconsin On Demand. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you.
Back in on the Jesse Nelson Show, you may know it as Wilde and Tausch. Yeah, it's been a good day so far. Bucks game 7 coming up tomorrow night. Matt LaFleur in attendance at Fiserv Forum last night. But before Matt LaFleur was in attendance...
Hey, Jesse, what are the odds that you hurt yourself throwing axes? I'm actually starting to worry about you. Because you're going to be like half in, half out. I don't... Nothing against you. I have not seen you... From an athletic standpoint, you're probably a really good bowler.
Thank you.
About it all the time.
I am pretty decent. Yeah.
I'm nervous that you're going to hurt yourself throwing an axe.
How can you even hurt yourself throwing an axe? Like
you might find
you would have to throw it so badly that it would either like go straight up in the air and come back and land on your head, or you'd have to throw it straight down to the ground.
But it's an axe. Like I'm sure you have to sign. I'm guessing you have a monster waiver to sign when you go in there.
Well, probably, but like you have to do. I've done zip lining. You have to sign a waiver when you go zip lining, and I manage that just fine. You been zip lining any time recently, Tausch?
No, I don't think a zip line and me are a good combination.
And with that, we bring in the regular host of Wilde and Tausch, joining us on his day on assignment. It is Jason Wilde. Jason, you been on a zip line or thrown an axe any time recently?
Neither, and I can't believe you're so flippant about your axe throwing. You could drop it on your foot while you get excited about a dunk that puts them ahead to stay to win game 7.
Well, I'm guessing you don't like pick it up. Like best practice, I would assume with axe throwing is you don't pick up the axe until it's your turn to throw it. Like you just kind of let it sit there until it's your time to shine. It's like darts. You don't just walk around with the darts, or do you?
No, you do. Yeah. Your darts are your darts.
Guess it depends who you are.
Yeah.
Jason.
Are you bringing your own axe like you bring your own bowling ball and shoes?
Well, I'm not because it's my first time ever going, but I wonder if there are experienced axe throwers who do have their own equipment.
Yes.
I guess.
Fairly confident that if you're a professional axe thrower, and I see it on ESPN, you're going to have your own. You're not going to trust another man's axe. You're going to have your own axe. And you're not going to have to grind it.
Do we need to do a team bonding activity with the three of us? Do we all need to go axe throwing at some point?
No, we're good.
This is something we can manage.
I've seen you guys a lot lately. Maybe in the fall. Maybe in the fall we'll do an axe throwing contest. That could be fun.
Tausch could not have said no faster.
He also channeled his inner Sophia Minert to say no in the nicest way possible, that he has no interest in any team activity with us. So that's great. Jason, how was Matt LaFleur yesterday?
He was brief, 13 minutes. We won't talk to him again, at least publicly, until training camp is about to kick off. But he says they've got one plan for training camp, which is great. But I don't think they know exactly who'll be attending just yet. Maybe they do. Maybe they already know that Rodgers isn't coming or something like that, because obviously if he's there, the plan would obviously change. So that's great that he says that they've got one plan, but they also have two offenses, one that other people can run and one that Rodgers can run.
All right, so Jason, I did not hear your question. You missed part of the show to make sure you got it in. What did you ask him, and what was really eating at you that you wanted to talk about?
Well, two things. I got two questions in. I had the last one, which was about Kurt Benkert, who I think he's got a long way to go before he's got the fan following of a Tim Boyle. But he was pretty good in the opportunities he had. You could see him get better and better from when he was trying out during the rookie camp to the last practice we saw, even though Love got most of the 11-on-11 reps. So I was really intrigued by him, and I think we're going to try and have him on the show next week. I'll try and schedule it for a day that you're on, much like when we rescheduled Cliffy to come back, which was a very fun interview that I caught on my Alexa, which is amazing to be able to do that. I'm a huge fan of being able to use that and listen to the show. So those of you that haven't tried that, I highly recommend it. So Kurt Benkert was one of my questions. The other one was, I am really intrigued by how they're set up for training camp, because there's, as I said to him, there's good and there's bad, right? The good is, after last year not having any off-season program on the grass at all, you have now had a normal off-season, right? I mean, a bunch of veterans negotiated their way into only coming for a portion of the OTAs and for the mandatory minicamp and still get their workout bonus, so that's great for them. But all the young guys who needed the work got on-field work led by Jordan Love. So that's the good. And the bad is you don't know if you're going to have your three-time MVP or not. And so I asked them, what are the challenges of that uncertainty and what are the benefits of having gotten the work that they got during the offseason?
Jason, Tausch and I were talking about this earlier. We all know LaFleur looks good, but does he look the best of everyone involved in the Packers organization during this whole Rodgers standoff?
Well, having learned my lesson last night, sending a text message when the game was a 5-point game saying, this doesn't look like a blowout to me, and then it ends up with the final score being largely a blowout. I don't want to go against Tausch, but I thought you guys made a very good point that right now he looks great. But if they start losing, it doesn't matter that the front office, I don't want to say ran off, but certainly is in an issue with Aaron Rodgers. Doesn't matter that. Doesn't matter that LaFleur was not the one who drafted Jordan Love, although I still think he more than signed off on that pick. What matters is that they're losing. And if Jordan Love is playing poorly and they're losing, it doesn't matter that the head coach was 26-6. If they start 1-5 and Aaron Rodgers isn't their quarterback, he's going to get all kinds of criticism for not adapting. And maybe there'll be some of us, myself included, that will repeatedly point out that he had planned for another year with Aaron Rodgers, but didn't get it. But he is going to get criticism if they struggle and Aaron Rodgers isn't there, even though he's been the biggest cheerleader for bringing him back.
Yeah. And Jason, that's where, you know, when we started the show talking about the quote that Matt LaFleur had yesterday, he's not being serious. Like, there's no way that he's just going to go in and we're going to run the same thing. Like, we all know that's just not true. He is going to make adjustments because he'd be doing himself a disservice, and he'd be doing his quarterback, and he'd be doing the other 10 guys in that huddle a disservice if they just think they're going to run the offense the same way they did with Aaron Rodgers with a quarterback that we don't even know what his skill set is yet.
So how – my question for you, because Lord knows that
even on your days off.
It's unbelievable.
Days off, you can't just answer a question. You have to. It is a sickness, exactly. My friend, but let me hear what question you have.
Well, how different was the offense from 07 to 08 with Mike when you went to Rodgers? I mean, we've talked a lot about that summer mess, but how differently designed was the offense that you guys worked on throughout training camp?
It was – in fairness, it wasn't that much different. Like, it was not like we were reinventing. But that's not the same scenario. We saw Aaron Rodgers play. He was going
to
be 4 years.
What I wanted to illustrate is that Aaron Rodgers had 3 years. He had played in a game that mattered in Dallas and played well. He'd had three training. He was in his third training camp. He'd had all those off seasons. He'd had so much experience in the NFL and two full off seasons and a second training camp that he was doing in Mike McCarthy's offense that they didn't need to change a lot because they knew what he was capable of. There's no way, based on one really good minicamp practice, that Matt LaFleur is going, well, we can just run the same stuff. I mean, there's no way in God's green earth that's possible. And so, yes, they may have the same singular plan in terms of what the practice schedule is going to be and how quickly they're going to do installs and that sort of thing. But there's no way. And he, what's funny is he said, because I asked him this like 2 weeks ago, if there's kind of a version of the offense if Aaron's back and there's a version of the offense if Jordan Love or Blake Bortles is your quarterback. And he basically said yes, because how many times have we heard either Mike McCarthy or Matt LaFleur say there's the offense on paper and there's the offense the way Aaron runs it?
Yep.
Those are two different things, and it'll be different with Jordan Love running it if it comes to that.
Yeah, and that's why I don't understand why he said that, because we all know that what you just said, that there's one way the offense is drawn up and there's another way you actually go out and execute it when you have a quarterback with that knowledge base. It's not an indictment of Jordan Love that he's not at that point. He's not 15. He's not a 16-year veteran in this offense. So that's the part that I guess I don't understand. Jesse thinks the coddling Jordan Love too much.
Some coddling going on.
Why would you make those comments? I guess I'm just always curious what the motivation is for why you say those things, even though everybody that can see is like, well, that doesn't make any sense. That's not true.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that in fairness to Jordan Love, he probably deserves to be coddled a little bit. I mean, he's being, whereas Rodgers, I think you knew, was ready to take over by the time, you weren't thrilled when he was picked, but by the time he ascended to the starting job and everything else, I think you guys had a pretty good idea of what he was capable of. And you had seen Brett struggle in cold weather multiple times. So maybe even some guys thought, this might actually give us a better chance in 2008. Turned out you guys went 6-10. Jordan Love just, he's not ready. Like, I know they're trying to shift the narrative gradually, but remember, on draft day, the guy who drafted Jordan Love said he's got a long way to go. The head coach who will have to alter his offense if, in fact, Jordan Love has to be the opening day starter, said he's got a long way to go. And after he had a great minicamp practice, I mean, he was phenomenal. The head coach, if we're being honest, leaned much more toward dismissive than effusive in terms of his praise. And so, yes, I know, you know, not want to, maybe coddling Aaron Rodgers' feelings factors into that as well, but, you know, I still think, I thought he was going to rave, at least to some degree, to give Jordan some very public praise. And when he didn't do that, I wondered how much stock he was putting in one good practice in shorts and T-shirts. That's on the head coach. That's not on those of us that watched, because everyone that was on the sideline was buzzing, and so were the assistant coaches as he played that well a week ago Wednesday.
Jason, even on a day that you're off from the show, you still managed to help us be off the clock here at the top of the hour, so we have to let you go, but thank you so much for taking the time and joining us this morning. Hope you have a great weekend.
I am thrilled to report that Paula's hopefully final surgery is over. She's in recovery. I'm going to pick her up. So thanks for stepping in to the breach for me, Jesse. I appreciate that. And I can't wait to talk to Cliffy next week about how much more I like our house than the one that he wanted to sell me.
Can't wait to hear that story next week. And anytime you need me to get more airtime, Jason, I appreciate helping out. You know, it's my pleasure.
That's why I was reluctant to even offer to come on, because I know I'm cutting into your airtime. Thanks for covering for me, guys. You guys are the best. I love you guys. Take care. Be good.
That's well played.
Is it weird that that makes me more uncomfortable than when Favre said it?
No, because I agree with you 100%. Tausch, would you like to tease what's coming up in 2 minutes on the 11 a.m. hour of Wildy and Tausch?
Yes, I think Acho, who is you know, his career has blossomed.
Emmanuel Acho.
He had some really interesting comments and a perspective on this Aaron Rodgers scenario I had not heard. And I think there is a lot of merit to it. We'll talk about that next. It's Wildy and Tosh.